Hey, good people. Welcome back to Driven and Purpose. I am your host, Alex M. Robinson. I'm so excited that you could join us this morning for our live podcast. So we are at Sanctuary of Praise, room 17 West Swan Street in Kalamazoo. I'm excited today. So those that are viewing for the first time on this podcast, just going to give you a little bit of housekeeping. This podcast is about being kingdom-minded people all over the world that are sharing their journey of how they found their purpose and how they are driven in it. Here you'll be given sound wisdom to how to find it and how to maintain it. So I'm honored today to have some amazing, beautiful, anointed, powerful women of God. These are first ladies, amen, in the ministry, and it's an honor, amen. Some of them are shy, amen, but I'm grateful because they have a heart and a mind. Said, yes, I'm going to do it. I may not talk a lot, but I'm going to do it. So I'm grateful for them on today that has came out to encourage you and to remind you that God does have a purpose and a plan for your life. At this time, we're going to start to my right, and we're going to have the first lady, amen, to introduce herself and tell you a little bit about herself. Amen. And how many children do you have today?
I have two. I have a boy named Joshua Samuel and a little girl named Olivia.
Amen. And then we have a
lady called Parnell. I'm the first lady of Sanctuary of Praise here. We came up from Mobile, Alabama. We have two children, two boys, 20 and 21 and 28. Well, I'm glad to be here.
My name is Pastor Gloria Abram. My husband and I, we head up and lead Mount Olive House of Prayer, which is located in New Jersey. We also are leaders of Tabernacle of Purpose. And I'm so glad to be here, and thank you, Mr. Alice, for having us to be here today on this podcast.
I'm 37
years.
So I'm really looking at 38 years on the 37. And we've been in ministry for 25 years. Amen. So I'm so glad to be here. Amen. I am the prophetess tomorrow from Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. And myself and another minister at Heart of the Nation in Riverdale, Georgia. And we have three children and we're pushing for God. Amen. So as you can see, we have from all over in the United States, Alabama, Kalamazoo, New Jersey, and Atlanta. So that tells you God is building kingdom everywhere. It's just not here, but it's everywhere. And so what we're going to talk about today, and when we came up with this topic, it's kind of like an ouch topic. And we're finding out why as we go further into this topic. And so the question that we have, before we do that, there's a question that I must ask those that come up with this one. When you hear the word driven and purpose, I'm going to let everyone take this one. What does that mean to you when you hear the word driven and purpose?
When I hear the word driven and purpose, the first thing I think about is the reason why you are here. The reason why you are here. This is what I think about. Being driven and purpose is to be actually moving, working in one life for you. Anybody else want to try to on that? I think driven and purpose is more like a, it's a go to, it's what I have to do, it's what I have to yearn for. So I'm going to be driven in that.
So, I think a lot of times when we don't understand what purpose is,
it causes us not to operate in. And a lot of times we think purpose is one dimension, that we have one thing that we can find to do, but we're not. We can have multiple things that we are not required to do. And a lot of times we box ourselves in, that that's all we have been created to do, but that's not the case. Because if that was the case, then a lot of us would be doing the same thing. And then that would not be a fivefold ministry. Am I correct? So we are all designed to do multiple things in the body of Christ. So when I see driven and purpose, I'm compelled to do it. I don't have any other choice but to do what I have been assigned to do. And I was sharing with the ladies before we came on air. I talked about when, and some of you know, when the Lord gave me driven and purpose, I resisted. I didn't think that I was equipped to do the task. Not me, first of all, I don't like to talk a whole lot. If I'm outside of here, y'all would not hear me a whole lot. But when I step into ministry, I got a whole lot to say. But when the Lord said driven to purpose, I said, I don't know who you're talking to, but it can't be me, because that ain't me. And so, but because I operated out of disobedience, I was on 9 different blood pressure medications. And my blood pressure was running 197, 211, over 120. It was stroke level to where several times it's like, we don't want to send you home. But I said, I got kids at home, and I'm on my own. God will take care of me. But the Lord told me, because of disobedience, your health is not mine enough. So when I told the Lord yes to what his purpose was, now my blood pressure was low. The doctor said, you're so mellow that I need you to move because my pulse is so slow. I need you to get so comfortable. It's following what God has told you to do. So purpose is necessary. It is necessary, it's key if you want to have long life. Let's be honest. If you want long life, you want to walk in the purpose of God. So, with that being said, so the question that I'm going to present to the first ladies is, how do you stay in alignment with your husband's vision and remain driven in purpose with what God has given you? So anybody want to take the lead on that?
One word, prayer.
She said one word, prayer. But what happens when you've been praying and you still don't see the change? Because a lot of times, I'm not the first lady, but when you have to follow, because when you are a first lady, your husband is also your pastor. So when the first lady's like, I'm agreeing with that too much. But it's pastor, but yet husband when you walk out the door. So how does that look? Because I'll be honest, when my husband was living and he would preach, he would say something, and my facial expression would say, but I would hold it. But when we got in the car, I said, baby, I don't agree with that. And then he was like, well, baby, you don't have to agree, but next time just smile while I'm saying it. So how do you deal with that when your husband is going one way, but you're not feeling that way? Does that make sense to y'all? What do you do?
You have to learn how to separate the two. You have to learn how to separate the apostle. You have to learn how to separate really who that person is, said, okay, that's really talking. Okay, that's apostle talking. And you had, when you learn how to separate the two, you'll know how to kind of glide, guide through what's going on in the ministry. But if you put Willie in apostle's place, then it is not going to work, because Willie and apostle are two different entities. Mm-hmm. When apostle is leading the people and things are going forth, you may not agree with a lot of things because you're thinking in your mind, oh, that's Willie. But it's not. It's apostle. You have to learn how to determine which is which. Just like he has to learn how to determine which is which with you. Because when you're coming and you're in ministry, you have to come a certain way. I don't even like the term first lady. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The reason why is when I was growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church. And the Lord led me to what I am today. Because all the first ladies I saw, the images that I saw, they were, you can't talk to them. They were not relatable. They sat on the front row with big old hats. You couldn't see. And their attitude just, if I can say, it just sucked. And I, from being on, I just didn't like that term. For I know people use it, and it's okay, but I just didn't like the term first lady, because in my mind, that's what I was thinking in my mind. That's what I saw. The snootiness, the nasty attitude. I mean, it was just, I was like, I don't like, you know what I'm saying? I just didn't like. So I learned how to separate the two. And that's how I got past it. I don't know how anybody else got past it, but that's how I got past it. I learned how to separate the two.
And I think Pastor Taylor spoke about that last night when he talked about Batman and how Alfred was able to take both of Batman, and then he was able to take the other side of Batman. And that's what you're saying. But you have to pick the right one that can handle the both of you, and then know how to understand the difference between the two. And that's a lot of times people's pickers is broke. And you need to stop, because what a lot of times, and this is me, and I'm not saying y'all can agree or disagree, stop looking at the outer shell and see what's on the inside of the person. And if you see God and that connection works, then go. But if you look in on the outer, I tell people all the time, beauty will fade. But what's on the inside of you will radiate on the outside. So if you don't have somebody that, like you were saying, that can divide the two and know which one is talking, and then you say, oh yeah, I recognize that that's apostle. That's not really. Okay, I'm good with that. And then for them to be able to recognize, okay, I'm not talking, but that's prophetess talking. And I say, hey, you have to be able to connect with the right person to be able to go where you gotta go. And the key is also having somebody that will push you into where you have to go and not sit on you while you're trying to go. So does anybody else want to?
Well, I can concur to what Lady Taylor was saying, the apostle Tyrus, he always tried to push me to do other things. Like, okay, no, that's not me. But I would still do it because the apostle asked me to do it. So, but when he, when Tyrus talked, I'm like, man, go ahead.
Oh, you should have seen his facial expression.
When the apostle asked and requested I do something, I'm like, Lord, you had to touch my mind. So I can let that come forth. So So that's why we were like, you know, Apostle asks a lot. He does. He asks a whole lot.
Amen. I'm a child, amen, because I'm in the
ministry. But I know the vision, and I'm on board with that vision, because, you know, being the lady of this ministry, I have to be on board with him. So we got to combine and be in the same mind. So I thank the Lord for that, and everything's good. You know, Tyrus have to work with that. You know, I know how to deal with you.
But I'm so glad you know how to deal with it. Now, I've known Apostle or Tyrus. Amen. I knew Tyrus before he was apostle. So I've known him for over 30 years. So that is, I knew him way, 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 way back in the day. So I'm Tyrus before apostle. So when I say he got a good one, he got a good one. The Lord knew what he needed. And then he recognized, thank you, Lord, what he needed. Because some of the other ones that he was looking at, I was like, Lord, that's not what he needs. So that's when we talk about pick or grow. Pay attention to what God is telling you. Because when you are designed for ministry and you're key in ministry, like y'all are key, when I look at your husbands, I see what God is doing in them and their ministry. It is not a ministry that is just kind of flawed, but it's a ministry that's growing, that's elevated. And they have to have the right wife, the right companion that is connected to them. That will, I've seen, and I know you don't like the first lady words, because I was the same way with you. No, I was the same way with you, because I used to grow people say, oh, you're going to be a first lady. I said, I don't know who you are. I don't like first names. I didn't like that, because you could not approach them. And don't sit in their seat, because they're going to tell you, that's my seat. And I told what? I was not young. When I was little, I know where my 11-year-old get it from. When I was not, I was, yeah, Apostle knew me, I was mouthy. All right. I told the first lady, I didn't know that Jesus gave seat assignments in the church. Apostle, I was mouthy, y'all. The Lord had to deliver me. He did. But the first lady wanted to whoop me, because I told her I didn't know that the Lord gave seat assignments in the church. I think I was like 9. And so my mama had to snatch me. But I told her, as she snatched me, I said, I ain't gonna never be a first lady if that's how they look and that's how they act. That's why it is important, as men of God, that you know who you are linking up with when God has designed you for greatness. And y'all picked well. I clap my hands for you, gentlemen. Y'all picked well. Amen. You picked well. And so with that being said, with you and your husband and his ministry, because y'all are all the way in New Jersey, and y'all drive. Because you guys are in New Jersey, right? Tyrus fix us, baby. But you drive from New Jersey to South Jersey to North Jersey. That is not a easy drive.
No, it's not. It's about an hour and close to 30 minutes with traffic, which we usually do get to periodically. But you know, when you understand what God is calling you to do, you know, you'll make that sacrifice, you know, to do the work of the Lord. I was listening to Ms. Tamara here, and she was saying how, you know, you have to be able to separate the two. And you know, I never really looked at it like that until you just said that.
because, you know, I see my husband leaving the church, speaking Sunday after Sunday, Bible study after Bible study, you know, and then we go home, you know, and he's still, you know, a bishop, and he's my husband, and what I like about it is he knows how to separate the two.
Wow.
And that's key for me. You understand? Because that has allowed me to be able to grow. See, so yes, in church he's leading and he's bishop, and yes, and his lifestyle remains the same wherever he goes. But at home, he's my husband. You know, at home, he's my confidant. At home, he's someone I can talk to. You know, I keep it real. I'm married. He's my lover. He's my friend. He's my, you know, we laugh, we talk, we travel. We have a great time together. We don't need nobody else with us to have a great time. God has blessed us this way. And even, I'm not saying there's no rough days, but the fact is that we're friends. We communicate. See, and that makes the world a difference. So being purpose-driven, even though I'm in alignment with my husband, comes easy. See, because he understands that, yes, this is my helpmate. He understands that, yes, you know, she's to flow according to the vision of the church, but I see she flows with me. But God called her for purpose. You understand? And so it was just, I'll tell you this very quickly, it was just over the past 4 years during COVID that God showed me the purpose on my life. Because we couldn't be in the church doors as often, right? And I'm just home, I'm working, and I'm spending time with the Lord, I'm praying a lot more because, you know, I was seeking God because I started to feel that yearn. I said, God, there's more than just me standing in the pulpit preaching. There's more than me just praying and slaying. There's more than me just running the witness of the Spirit he blessed me with. And I felt it on the inside, but I didn't really know what that more was. So I began to talk to the Lord about it, and I began to talk to my husband. I said, babe, there's more. I said, I'm going to keep praying until God shows me the more. You know, and he encouraged me. He said, babe, honey, pray about it. And so as I continued to pray about it, God began to show me that my message that he has placed within me, the life he has given me, the reason why I met my husband so early, the reason why we're in ministry together, his parents are pastors, my parents are pastors. You know, so there's an understanding there as it relates to ministry. But he began to show me that the reason why you met Bishop Ingram at 12 years old. Listen, y'all, don't get no ideas your name.
That is them, this is name.
But that was God-led. That was God-ordained. Okay, because it was 5 years later that we did, you know, go ahead and make that union. But there was a reason for us connecting so early. I know I'm having a hot flash. It's happening. But anyway, sticking to the point of purpose driven, you know, so as I began to seek the Lord about it, he let me to know that the message that I put place within you is also going to help those that are not even in the four walls of the church. You understand? Because people need help wherever they are. Yes. And he said, through you messaging, even outside, is going to compel them to come in. And so as I spoke to my husband about it, and he goes, oh, yeah, okay. Because I've always been one that liked to speak. I've always, you know, never had a shyness of a pulpit or anything like that. I've always just spoke because I believe that God has always put a word within my spirit. And so through that, I'm able to walk in purpose. You know, I was stretching myself a little bit, doing things I had never done. But you know what? I can't tell you that's the house of fulfillment. That fulfillment, that freedom of feeling like, yes, this is who Gloria McHenry is. That's my maiden name because that's who I came in the world as Gloria McHenry. You know what I'm saying? And so it was just like, I can't tell you, ladies, it is so fulfilling to know that God is walking these, I'm in alignment with my husband,
And there's no arguments about what you're doing, where you're going, nothing. Like, he understands my first priority is ministering to my husband. I understand that, and that's what I do. But I'm able to spread my wings and his purpose. And I believe that God is blessing me.
That is key. She said he allows her to stretch her wings. I know that. I think I can chime in with Pastor Gloria. When you step into purpose, the joy that comes over you. And I had the same. Like, I knew that there was greatness. I knew that it was so much greater than what I was doing. And I felt that in my spirit, like, but what was it? It was like, if I could just put my hand on it, I'll do it. And a lot of times, we don't want to seek God for what he wants us to do out of fear. But the longing, I don't know if anybody else feels that, the longing of wanting to do what God has assigned you to do is almost overwhelming. To where, like, Lord, I'm in sadness. But the greatness that you feel in you, man, when you step out, y'all, I'm gonna tell you what, I got some happy. When I stepped into purpose, I got so happy, y'all, I even dropped 30 pounds. I'm telling you the truth. When I step into purpose, my girls will tell you, weight just started falling off. When I stepped into purpose, I was like, man, I'm happy. And I can tell you, I was not, and I know that people say, y'all, you a believer. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been saved since 13. But I was not happy. I was not. Even when I was married, I really was not, you know, I had happy moments. And I loved my husband. Don't get me wrong, loved him. But I really wasn't happy. Because I still was not fulfilling purpose. I was mom. I was wife. I was praise and worship leader. I was youth president, youth pastor. I did all that. But I still was not walking in full purpose. So I wasn't happy. And now I can say, you know what? Man, I'm happy. And I look like it. When you step out on God, and I tell people, stop looking at the why. You got to have a Peter moment. To where you just step out in the boat. I step out the boat. And then trust God that when you step out, he's not going to allow you to sink. Because if he tell you to go, he going to undergird you. So we cannot allow fear to handcuff us, because I did. So when joy came, real joy. Real joy didn't come when I stepped out in purpose. And so when you said that, I felt that. I felt that in my spirit when she said, I knew. And sometimes I'd be like, Lord, I know you got so much right. And the sanctuary said, I tell them, my favorite word is what? I get so giddy. I get giddy. And everybody's like, apostles say, I ain't never heard that. I get giddy. This overwhelming excitement when I think about just fulfilling God's plan for my life. And so that's what we are assigned to do. And when we get there, first lady, Taylor, when you really do it, girl, you'd be like, man, I didn't know I could talk that much. But it's in you. It is. And when you allow God to overpower the shyness, girl, you have a lot in you. More than what you probably, there's a song that I gave Tyrus Jr. And I have a prayer room. And I got my little seat in the corner, and I got my stickies on my walls, what I'm praying about. But the Lord gave me a message or a song sitting in that chair. You see greater in me. You see more in me than what I can see myself. But God, I'm grateful because you do see greater in me. You may not see, but God does see greater in you. And it's just allowing yourself to tap into it. And when you tap into it, your husband will be like, man. Baby, I thought you looked good before. But what? Because there is an outer glow that comes upon you. Because even when I first met First Lady Tamar, and that was over a year ago, she was quiet. Maybe I just didn't know it then. But she was quiet. So from the first time I met her to the next time that I seen her in Mobile, I was like, whoa! What happened? But when you allow God to really operate in you, the impact, and the thing is the impact that you will have on the enemy's camp. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. I tell the devil, I said, my daughter's making me a t-shirt. Every time the enemy try to talk to me, I tell the devil, shut up. You ain't got no right to talk to me. So just shut up. And that's what we gotta do. We gotta tell the enemy he has no right nor authority to tell me anything. But what I will do is I will step out, and I will step out in purpose. And if we don't shout it, if we don't declare it, then who else will? Now, we talked about the First Lady word. And because God has put you in this role, people do look up to you. Whether you like it or not, they do look up to you. So when young women come into the church and they say, that's First Lady, they're going to be like, wow, can I get next to them? And we're going to be honest, y'all tell me or not. A lot of people try to get next to the First Lady. Am I telling the truth? They want to get in good. But when they try to get in good, then that's what you deliver the word, the purpose, because you have a key when you are First Lady in the ministry. So that's the role that you play. So when you have that position, it gives you opportunity. Because everybody wants to be next. You don't think they do. Think about it. They want to get next to the First Lady. Go ahead, I hear you want something. Oh, baby, like, let me go talk to the First Lady.
I have had that experience yet.
Ooh.
It's been the opposite.
Really?
When they find out, you know, who I am, it's like isolation.
Mm. Wow.
So, I don't know what it's like, where did they come from? Like, then I started thinking, like, okay, what did I do? I started going down the list. Okay, I didn't say anything. I didn't look a certain way because I'm told that my conversation is on my face. It's like, I didn't say nothing. Yes, you did with your face.
Can't smile all the time.
Right.
You can't smile all the time. But I think that's a tactic that the enemy tries to hand you because the enemy wants you to think that that's what everybody sees, but that's not what everybody sees. And the enemy will always try to bring the haters. I tell people all the time, I like spectators. I do spectators. And I just got a call last week, and it was from the ministry that I came out of. And they're talking. And she said, well, they got nothing bad to say. But I said, I'm glad because spectators are good. Not everybody is gonna come to you with good conversation. But I tell people, just watch me. Watch me as God elevates me. So the people that are coming to you, yeah. Just think that you can approach me, but you just the spectator. So keep spectating as God elevates you. And that's really what that is. Those are just spectators. But somebody's going to come to you and they're going to see what's in you, and then they're going to try to glean, because that's what they really need, is to glean from you. And so everybody that's trying to come with a negative, those are just your spectators. So, but that's what you are designed for. The Lord put you in this position for a reason. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I couldn't handle what y'all could handle. Because if, I'm going to be a little bit curved. If a woman would try to approach my husband, I would probably slap the text out of her mouth. I'm being honest. Now, my husband was a minister of music. So a lot of people, I did have to call a few to the carpet. But it's different when you are a pastor's wife, because people look at it as like a king or a president of the United States. And they try to get next. Some people try to get next to the first, maybe we get next to the pastor. How do you handle, because I'll be honest, I would have laid hands on somebody and it would have been anointed hands. I'm just going to be honest. Now I'm telling you this because I've seen it in the ministry. I've seen it to where women have the Jezebel spirit.
Say so.
And they have tried to approach a pastor and know that the pastor's married. We'll sit on the front row. They skirt up to him.
Lord have mercy.
And they shirt low in the front.
Mighty God.
How do you handle that as wives? Because now we're not in the pastor's mode. We done switched to the wife mode. Because I'm gonna have to snatch this woman off the front row. In the name of Jesus. That's the person in the name of Jesus. How do you handle that? Because that is the issue in the body. It is. So how do y'all handle that?
Well, coming up, I had a couple people that was too much. I want to get too close and then want to hug a little tight. And I've got to be like, hold up. Lord Jesus, I'm going to snatch this girl right now. But the Lord, I didn't do it. Because I'm like, Lord, so I said, sis, you just back up just a little bit. You know, if you need anything, just let me know. I can help you. You know? Because I was being honest, you know? I thank God for doing that. So there's been a few people that have been here. At St. George's has been in here, the one meetings with the pastor in office. Well, I'm the first time I said, okay, you know, she may be it. Want a second time? No, ma'am. So I went in there with them.
Right.
I'll be there. I'm like, no, you don't need another meeting with the pastor. Is it something that I can help you with?
Yes.
You know, because I feel like if I do that, that maybe come back for the meetings, for me secretly. You know, don't do no secret meetings. Don't do that here.
Come on.
No, don't do that here.
Come on. Come on.
No, the funny is she'll look at me and she'll say, she will point at me a minute and she'll say, you go on in there with her. Because she know that the lady tea is sweet. I will cut you. I will cut you with my words. And you won't know you believe in it until you say it when you don't let out. And I say it just as sweet as wine. And I said, baby, if you need a meeting, you don't have to be with a pastor. That's why he got me. You don't need to sit with a pastor. That's why he got me. So, and I'm a female, and you're a female. So you can talk to me. You don't need to conversate. So I'm the buffer at this moment because Lady T has had to rise up a couple times and say, oh, wait, and Lady T fast. She go, wait. Wait a minute. But how do you deal with that and not allow your flesh to overpower your spiritual man?
Someone be the oddball.
my husband works around a lot of women, and his position that he has is he's a chief union steward. So he has a lot of meetings with women of different calibers and whatnot. My thing is, I would go to him. I never go to, that's just me. I would go to him and say, she kind of came at you sideways. I didn't see that. But then I started going down the list. Did you see when she did this? Or did you see when she said that? And she said this and this and this and so. And he'll say, oh, okay. And so he'll start looking for those little key things when you put it in his ear. But I never had to approach a female for that particular reason. I guess because I know that he's on the phone talking a lot because that's what he does. And just coming from that particular background, I just come from the other side.
Side of the fence. Like, see, this is where pastors have to also pay attention. Because men are oblivious. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Yeah. Y'all are oblivious. Y'all don't pay attention. Y'all do not. Oh, they talking about that. Am I right? They don't pay attention. And we as women, we know how a woman switch. We know when her hands turn a certain way. We know the tricks. We know the tricks, and y'all are. What's the word? I'm trying to use a nice word. Y'all just dumb. Y'all just see it. And so
Y'all slow.
Okay, y'all slow. Because we had an incident and Apostle them laughed. They laughed at me. And especially Tyrus Jr., he will laugh at me from the organ. Because I see things that we had, and I'm not going to mention what service we or what pastor was here, but we had a service. And a young lady, this pastor was no longer married, he was a widow. And the young lady ran from the back of the church to the front of the church. She had a short skirt on, a V-neck, was not in the spirit by no means, but she was seducing spirit. And so, of course, the pastor that was preaching was oblivious to what was going on. And so with my nice self, I told the Lord, let her look up and look at me. And she caught me, and I told her, to your seat and allow this to it and sit down. And I saw her turn around and go back to her seat and sit down. Pay attention, pastors. First ladies, pay attention. because they are in the house. They are in the house. So that's why God had, they picked y'all. And I don't want to say we operate out of fear, but pay attention. Pay attention. Because they will come in the house and they will tear up your ministry. And they will bring a division between y'all. And that's not what you want to happen. So, First Lady, have you ever had to deal with it?
Me and Stephen, we were always communicating. And if I saw anything, I would go back and tell him. And with that conversation, I had to tell him he needs to be careful how you hug me. We have to be careful how you talk to me. We have to be careful how you look at me. Because certain things might reach out and say, oh, he's trying to talk to me.
Amen.
So I would tell you, you have to have boundaries. You have to remember, you have to respect yourself's personality. So when we do have an incident, I do go and say, hey. I said, that's right. And he's like, why is he here? I'm like, well, it was there.
I love her face expression. And that's key, but the thing is he listened.
Yeah.
He didn't just like, that's just you. That's just what you see in your head. And that's why they picked y'all. Because they hear you laughing. Because they hear sound wisdom that, hey, baby, I saw how she looked at you. And you're going to want to be careful of when she approaches you. That's part of purpose. Because what they really are trying to do is they're trying to stop purpose from being fulfilled. Because if you really understand, you connected to him. You connected to him, you connected to him, and you connected to him. That's part of your purpose. Because there's ministry that you do together, and there's ministry that you do apart. So it is key. So again, pay attention. So when your wives, so those are watching via Facebook, you pastors, pastors' wives. So what I heard, majority, is talk to your husbands and tell them what you see. And then husbands,
I'm not talking about,
have the ear to hear,
yes,
what your wife is telling you.
Yes.
Because first of all, she is a woman. And she knows the tricks. So y'all listen, because you don't want to allow anything to come in and destroy your flow. Because what Pastor was saying, she said, not only is he her pastor, but he's her husband. He's her friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't want nobody to mess up your friendship. You don't want that connection to be broken. And what I hear is, I trust my husbands. That's what I hear. I trust them. So no, I'm not worried about them doing anything wrong. But I don't want no good to be evenly spoken of. And that's what happens a lot of times. Your good, somebody takes that and changes it. And that's the problem. And I wish my brother was here, because he would, Pastor Tony would chime in. And he had a young woman that would come to the ministry. And she would always want meetings with my brother all the time. And I was like, I had called him, and he wasn't married yet. He was engaged, and I had called him. I said, Tony, his name. I said, don't have no more meetings. with her. And if you have to have them, bring in your, one of our sisters to be with you in the meeting. And what happened is that woman took, like, oh, he liked me. And it turned into a stopper moment. So we have to watch our, what we're trying to do, because it can be twisted. And so when you go to, and now I know that we say we can't even greet nobody no more with a holy kiss. We can't even greet people anymore with a holy kiss. Because now the holy kiss turned into me. They like me. Now I tell people, I side hug people. I don't hug nobody. Except if, listen, and it's got to be a certain woman that I will hug and praise front to front. But most of the time I side hug people in the church. Because now the enemy has twisted things. And then it brings contention in the body. And then it stops the flow and the move of God. And so it is key. And I'm telling the Lord, I want nothing to block my purpose. And I don't want nothing to get in my way. Because y'all, I'm bad about detours. I'm going to be honest, I'm so... I'm bad about detour signs. I don't follow them.
My daughter said yes.
They had tour at Westridge. My daughter goes to a private school and they had tour up every street to get to her school. Now they got signs telling me which way to go. But you think I followed the signs? No, I didn't. I said, I know what I'm going. Well, I got in a little community, and I couldn't figure out how. I was like, okay, Lord, you're gonna have to show me. And the streets is like where I know that there's one way in and one way out. And I got into one of the communities. And I was going down street after street, and Chick side, Chick was like, and she would. Jay had to be in school at 8:30. By the time I got Jay to school, it was a quarter to 10. I had to figure out how to get out of that, then go back to the detour signs, and then follow them to get where I was supposed to be at. Now, if I were just falling from the beginning, she would have been on the top. How many times do we don't follow God's instructions in the body of God? So when he tells us, okay, I see that brother or that sister, and they come and correct, and he tells you how to handle it, that it doesn't bring a division or a obstruction of the flow, and then you do like I do, I want to snatch you. Like you went to your husband and just talked to him. I didn't talk to a woman. I didn't talk to my husband. I talked to him after I talked to a woman. That a woman didn't come back to church no more. I just
tell her about it. Lord have mercy.
That's the only thing. That was a natural moment. That was me. That was because I didn't listen. That was Alice. Yes, it was. That was Alice Marie Echols came out. But if I would have did what God, and that was in my young days of marriage, I'm so much wiser now, thank you, Lord. But if I would have listened, I would have went and I would have talked to my husband first and said, baby, you know she touching you too much. And why she gotta always make a beeline to you before she come and talk to me? I need you to pay attention. If I would have did it that way first, I would have ran her about the church. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't get it straight. Several years later, it took me a while. I didn't go find her, and I apologize. But she did tell me she was trying to push up on my husband. But if I would have did it right, she wouldn't have lost 2 years of her salvation. Because she didn't go to church no more after I died. Now, after I apologized, she came back in. But if I would have did it right the first time, she would have stayed in the body. So follow instructions. That's the apostle's favorite purpose and one of them. Follow instructions so you don't tear up the body. And that is key to ministry. That is key to purpose. And y'all, I even detoured myself from not following instruction. And Chayla was like, Mama, now when she goes, she said, Mama, just follow the instructions because you're going to have to be late. I don't want to be late. And so it is key that we follow the direction that God is sending us in. So I'm going to ask Chris Lady Taylor one more time. How do you
try to push me. And I'm like, okay, well, I do this. But today I have to be mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually letting God work on me.
Wow. That's good.
Okay. And with that, that's how I get to where I am.
That is how, and that's the key. We have to allow God to do the work. And that's the problem. A lot of us don't want to allow God to do the work. And we say, that's not me. I'm not equipped to do that. But he has placed it in you. Everything that we go through is a building block. It's pieces like Pastor Taylor was talking about, the puzzle pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pieces that God is putting together. Now, God has already got his plan. It's already mapped out of what you're supposed to look like. And it says, and I know the thoughts that I think to you.
Come on.
Thoughts of good and not of evil. And he says, and then I have what? An expected end. So he already knows what you look like at the end. It's the point of you just getting to the end. So that means you got to allow the pieces to be put together. And so it's like tug of war. You tug it on one side, God tug it on the other. He's saying, come on, you saying, I'm not ready to go. That's a lot of times if we wait on when we're ready, we'll never ever be ready. That's like I said, ooh, I want to lose weight. But I keep picking up them bag of chips. So I just don't buy those chips. If I want a change, then I have to begin to make the change first. So that means that's one little step. So no, I don't like, I'm afraid to do this. So Lord, I'm gonna step out on you and I'm gonna just do it. That's part of the puzzle piece. Like, I didn't like to talk a whole lot. So I said, okay, I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna get up, because Apostle, when I came in the sanctuary of praise, where did I sit? In the back. And he was like, what are you doing in the back? I said, resting. And he's like, you can't sit there. So he pushed me, and I was not happy about the push. So I went from the back, all to the middle, to the pulpit. And then he said, now I need you to do, and I said, I don't want to do that. He said, I just need you to read this stuff. I don't want to read that. But as God began to put the pieces together, now y'all should have seen me in the beginning of the sanctuary. I am nothing like I was when I sung a whole lot. That's easy for me. But this is not. But when you say, okay, so we sing, Lord, I'm available. We sing that. But are we really available?
That's it.
To him. So that means when we're available, the key is what? We let him use us as he chooses. So that means we just gotta, my favorite phrase, let's get it.
Let's go.
Let's go. So that means you just gotta do it. And so now I'm on every something on the floor. But I'm like, Lord, every time my feet hit the floor, use me. Every time I open my mouth, I need you to speak through me. So I was like, I wanted to sit in the back seat. As soon as service was over, I love you. I was out the back. Well, I was not. They was like, she going already? I didn't want to be in the front. I was comfortable in the back. But I see you, sis. I really do. I see you. So much greatness.
Wow.
So much greatness. And if you just let God.
Come on. Whoa. I felt that. Come on.
Woo.
Lord.
You're dynamite. You just gotta let the Lord strike the match.
That's it.
And light it. And just go. And when you go, girl, I can't wait, because when I see Apostle Reed, she wasn't like that a year ago unless I just didn't know. I didn't know, because when she hit the floor in Mobile, leave alone, leave alone. Lord. I said, what would I miss?
Okay. Come on.
What we don't know that's in somebody until the match is lit and then purpose pours out. That's the word I'm waiting on. Purpose pours out.
That's good.
Purpose pours out. And when purpose pours out, it looks like this. It looks like this. It looks like this. It looks, when it pours out, it looks like this. this.
Wow.
You, I want you, come on, y'all talk.
And so I just want to encourage Lady Taylor. You know, one of the things about purpose that you never want to do, because I used to do this, in order to walk in your authentic self that God has called you to be, never compare. I'm not saying that you are, but I had to learn. Because see, I'm not a traditional pastor or first lady. I'm just not. I'm a transformational. So people come to church, they would never identify me as, oh, that's the first lady. It was so bad. One time a lady was sitting in a seat and she was had all the outer garment. They thought that was first lady.
Wow.
And I'm sitting over here thinking, don't get it twisted. This should be your wife. You know, and so you never want to be in a place that you compare yourself.
That's
because
it.
God showed me that, Gloria, if you compare, you're going to impair your talents, your gifts, and everything that's
in the that's good.
Because you can't flow. You know? So, you know, when I prayed, I didn't have the role. You may not have the role. That's okay. You know, when you speak, it may not sound like your voice is traveling across the church. That's okay. The power is still in your voice.
Come on.
And so there are other, your spiritual daughters will be in the church looking at you thinking, wow, I don't have to be like all the others. My first lady, my pastor, by the time that you have, she comes across, but God is in her. The power is in her. God uses us in all different ways. And I had to learn that business. I had to learn that. You know, I was never a traditional type. And I used to feel a way about that. You know, I used to tell myself, no, I don't want to pray because I don't sound like, you know. I didn't have a fear. I just felt like I didn't sound like this or that. So what's going to be received? You know? But then I started flowing as Gloria. And I'm like, this is what God made me.
Come on, come on.
And this is who I am. Get them away from me. They're like, you're so relatable. You're so reachable.
Wow.
You know, because I keep it real with them. It's just time. That's all it is.
Come on.
And they have that level of respect because of how you keep it real.
That's it.
So meet you, girl, and let God do it with you.
That's so good.
When my girls met me, especially my youngest, she was like, wow, that's a first lady? Mom, because the ideal that what we think it should look like, she talked about children. She does. My youngest talked about first lady, T's, that's all she talked about. But the ideal of what we have, we got to let go. See us how God sees us. Stop looking at, I don't, because I do not look like nobody else. I don't talk like nobody else. I don't sing like nobody else. I am who I am. And you know what? I love who I am. I love who God is creating me to be. And I'm good with that. I'm short. I'm a little thick. But I'm okay with it. I'm grateful for who I am in God. Only thing I need is for Him just to use me. That's all I need. So tradition, I tell people, y'all need to let go of tradition. Let go of tradition, because it's holding people hostage. And that's why we can't get people into the house. Because everybody think you got to be in a skirt. And I don't care if you're Now, my dress is a long, y'all is a short. I'm sorry. I am 4'11". Yes, I'm tiny. So they don't make clothes for us vertically challenged individual women. And so our clothes is a little bit longer, our dresses are longer, and our sleeves are longer. And tailoring costs a lot. So I tie my size, so I have to. So, but that doesn't make you saved. So when they think tradition for first ladies is a hat, it's a suit, it's hot. And then go, you can't work. I can't work on an altar and I got a big old hat on my head.
Why not?
Or a suit. Some of y'all ain't big on the floor, no suit. Let more tradition so we can build kingdom. Those that are out in the world are not going to come in the house. It is still tradition. The word is not going to change, but our tactics has to. Am I telling the truth? The word is not going to change, but our tactics have to. Because they don't want to hear the same old, same old. Break it down. Now I'm going to tell them to pull them up. I'm going to tell you to pull them up, your pants up. Please do that. But that's not going to save you. The word of God is what's going to save you. That's what they have to share. In the way that we deliver it, whether you're in a skirt, you're in jeans, you're in shorts, just deliver the message and let it be holy.
That's it.
And let it be true. That's all we need from you. So we don't look. We got
beautiful.
And every last one of us is different. And they're beautiful. This is really what holiness looks like. And it's not traditional. This is what purpose is. First Lady Taylor, I cannot not say First Lady. Crystal did not want to get up here. But she did it. And she did a wonderful job. So this is a piece of your puzzle. This is a piece of your, this is not going to be your last. It's just not. Say it again. She knows what she'll be expected next time. And we're going to do this again because it is key. It is key. And so I'm going to ask the husbands, y'all kind of stand behind this real quick if y'all would. Come on, put your coffees down. They are drinking coffee. That was so funny. Drink the water. Come on, I want you to stand behind your wives before we close out. I'm putting in work. So I want y'all to see, amen, those that are on Facebook, these great women. And these are some powerful women. So y'all just getting a little bit of really what they're really about. And a little bit of that. But I want y'all to see these great women's husbands. Amen. Amen. They say behind them. Well, I'm going to say in front of every man is a good woman. That's what they say behind. But besides,
that's it.
Every good man, good godly man, is a good godly woman. And so we have Prophetess Tamar Reed and Apostle Willie Reed. We have Pastor Gloria and Bishop Ingram, we have Lady Tacoma and Apostle Titus, We have First Lady Crystal Taylor and her husband, Pastor Taylor. And we are honored to have some amazing men and women of God that are driven in purpose. So you guys, this has been our podcast on today. And I want to encourage you to remember that God has a purpose and God has a plan for your life. And like we always say, let's get it. Let's go. God bless y'all.